Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. So this week, I've got two things I want to talk about. The first is I got asked a lot recently, because we're getting close to the holiday season, about things you could get for a photographer that would be an interesting holiday gift. So I've got a list of some things that you could potentially give to a photographer. My ideas aren't super expensive, and they're not super gear-related. So we'll get to that in a second. But the other thing I wanted to briefly talk about is I've been talking to a couple of people who are working on some pretty interesting projects. They've got some really kind of cool photographic things they're working on, and they're at different stages in their project. One of the things I wanted to talk about was just how important it is to be respectful of your own process. Because one of the things that happens in our work to create really significant, meaningful photography for ourselves, and hopefully ultimately for others, is that we have multiple things that are happening. So if you actually think about your creative practice as a racetrack, there are certain lanes, and everybody has a lane on the track. So you're in the inside lane, the next lane over, the next lane over. So if you think about like the Olympics, there's like 1 through 8 for the lanes. Each one of the lanes in your creative practice represents something different that you're potentially doing. One of those lanes could be the actual creation of the image. Another lane could be working on the artist statement or the language around your project. Another lane could be about the actual editing and curation of the work. Another lane could be about actually presenting the work and talking about the work. The interesting thing about your creative practice is that those are all going to move at different rates. If you think about people running around a track, not everybody runs at the exact same speed. And not only that, sometimes a racer might be out in front and then somebody else catches up later, but eventually everything crosses the finish line. So as you start to think about your own process, don't get frustrated because you're stuck with something where you feel like, oh my gosh, I'm behind, or my images are not fitting well with my project statement yet, or my project statement isn't fitting well with my images. What that usually means is that you're just at a different point going around the tracks. The lanes are not equal. The lanes are staggered a little bit. And you need to respect the fact that at certain times you're going to be leapfrogging yourself through your process. So the images might be ahead, or the artist statement might be ahead, or you might actually start showing work before you're potentially finished with the project. So you're trying to get feedback about how to improve the work, how to create a more interesting body of work, but the work's not yet evolved enough where it's solidified in a way that becomes really easy for somebody to grasp a hold of. That's all perfectly okay. That's normal to the process. I think one of the things we try to do sometimes is we try to wait till everything's finished, and then we step out and start looking for feedback, or we start looking to see if we're done, or we start looking about where to share and show things. But the reality is we don't develop in isolation. We may photograph in isolation, we may edit in isolation, but we view images collectively. We view images with multiple inputs and multiple statements back to us as artists if we get that opportunity. So to be able to step up and look at the work as it's evolving, you need to recognize that sometimes you may get feedback where you're like, God, I heard really bad feedback about what my project is, or that the idea is not original, or that the photographs aren't that interesting yet. And I think that's the qualifier to put on that process, is that it's always a yet. Because as you're moving forward, as you're trying new things, as you're establishing your way of being as a creative person, that's going to allow you to step up and create more meaningful work, more significant work. But you have to recognize that sometimes certain parts of your creative process are going to be ahead of your other parts. It just takes time for everything to synchronize. Once everything synchronizes, I think you're much happier. And the challenge comes if you're not synchronized and you're presenting work, or you're talking about your work and other people aren't there yet, or your work's not there yet, you're going to get judged based on what you describe where you're at today. That can become very difficult to get from a feedback standpoint and to get meaningful feedback, because you may be hearing feedback that says, the work's not that good. The work's not that interesting. You need to change direction. And really, I think what you need to do is go back and look at what you're presenting. And you know if you're there or not with your own work, but look and see, really, is what you presented the concept? Is what you presented the images? Is what you presented the place you want the work to be? And really judge what is the impact you're getting back from that. And is that really helping you move forward as an artist? Because some of those little pieces of information, if you're getting feedback about the wrong lane of the racetrack, it's going to be difficult to apply and move forward. But if you're able to figure out where the feedback is and understand that, oh, that is feedback because I'm lagging in one part of the racetrack, but I'm ahead in another, I think it'll be easier for you to synthesize what you actually need to do with that feedback to move forward. So respecting where you are in your own process and identifying where those lanes are, or what those track lanes are for you, I think could really help you get a better handle on how to absorb and take some of that feedback. Okay, so for some things for the holiday season that you might want to give a photographer, a couple of things that are really small and simple little gifts, one of which is a Phoenix, F-E-N-I-X, a Phoenix flashlight. They're these tiny little flashlights, but they're incredibly bright. They're super lightweight. They can fit in your pocket. They can fit in your camera bag. And it doesn't matter if you're light painting or if you just need a flashlight at night or you're just out working and you need to find something you might have dropped in the evening or whatever. This light is super bright, super, super lightweight. The batteries last a long time. It's an LED light. So I can't recommend a Phoenix flashlight enough. And they come in all sorts of different sizes. Another thing I would recommend is if you've got somebody who's a printer and they print their own work, figure out and learn what kind of paper they actually print with. Photographers are always in need of paper to print on. So if it's somebody who prints their own photography, getting them a pack of their favorite Epson paper or Hanamuel paper or Canson paper is a really kind of interesting gift. And it might result in you getting a photo back from them, which is kind of a two for one on the gift giving front. Another thing along those same lines is framing an image and getting an image matted really completes an image. There's something really, really cool about getting to actually put work up on the wall. So as awesome as it is to print your own photographs, getting them to that final completed stage of being matted or framed and getting up on the wall is really cool. So one of the things you could do is a really nice wooden black frame, a nice matte black frame kind of goes with anything. You can use that photograph for a lot of different things, but giving a photographer a couple of frames, really nice quality frames, is great because they can be repurposed. New images could go in over and over again. And framing is an expensive thing if you're thinking about having to frame, you know, a dozen or 30 images or something like that. So having some of those frames laying around is a really nice opportunity to find something that is significant and meaningful for a photographer that they will definitely use. Something else that I've done for a couple of people in the past and gotten really good results, and it's kind of a weird little suggestion, but a lot of people are starting out in business and they want to become photographers, they want to become professional photographers, they want to try to make a career out of it. And one of the things you could do is if you've got an accountant or a lawyer who deals with contracts that you trust, or an accountant that you really know really well, buy them an hour of time so that they can go sit down with an accountant or a lawyer and just talk about contracts or how to set up their business from an accounting standpoint that makes sense. So much of the struggles I've had in my business side have been resolved by having a good accountant and a good lawyer who's been able to kind of head things off at the pass. And if I had known early on the value of that, I would have gotten an accountant and a lawyer a lot sooner. And so I think it's a really interesting opportunity for you to offer a gift to somebody that they can actually use, whether they know that or not. It's also an opportunity for you to potentially help an accountant or a lawyer that you have a good, strong relationship with, potentially get a referral from the photographer you recommend. A couple of other things are books. You know, I'm a huge proponent of books and learning and looking at books and things like that. So I was kind of thinking about a couple of books that I got over the year or have seen that I think are really kind of interesting that would be great for anybody's bookshelf. One of which my friend Mike recommended, which is The Way of the Writer by Charles Johnson. And so it's not a photography book, but it really, Charles Johnson was a professor of writing, and he talks a lot about the craft of storytelling and how he taught storytelling and the different methodologies he's used for doing that over his career as a teacher. An absolutely amazing book, and it's so insightful to the creative process, which is what Mike told me. He's like, you just got to work through it. It's not photography related, but it's absolutely one of my favorite books of the year, and I'm indebted to Mike for that recommendation. So The Way of the Writer by Charles Johnson. Also, another book that I absolutely really got into this year is called Chromophilia by Stella Paul. It's the history of art, but it's told by color. So there's a chapter on red, there's a chapter on blue, there's a chapter on yellow, and it's about the influence of that color through art history and how that color has shaped our understanding of different things in society and our emotional response and why certain artists gravitated towards certain colors. So it's a really interesting way to learn about art history. And I love it from a color understanding of color and color perspective. A couple of other books. One is Unseen, which is from the archives of the New York Times. And it shows the images that have never been seen before of African Americans during the civil rights movement. And it's a really, really interesting look, compelling story. There's some great, great images taken by some of the best photographers in history who had worked for the New York Times. Also, Irving Penn has a book out, Centennial, which is kind of a retrospective of Irving Penn's work. A wonderful, wonderful book. If you're at all a fan of Irving Penn, that's a book I would highly recommend. Also, Teju Cole, who's all worked for the New York Times as well. He does a monthly column titled On Photography, has a book called Blind Spot, which is a really interesting photographic book and a series of stories and essays about culture and identity and things like that. It's definitely worth taking a look at. And then there's also the classic Art and Fear by Ted Orland and David Bayless. Definitely worth a look if somebody hasn't read that. A really great book. So that's kind of a list of some things you could consider buying for somebody for the holidays. A couple of book suggestions and a couple of different items you could get. Hope you have a great week this week. Don't forget to get out there and take pictures of the things that are important to you and the people that are important to you so that you always have that memory with you. No matter what happens, we need to take photographs of things we love, so that we always, always know we can look back and re-experience those moments of compassion and caring with the things we love. Also, don't forget you can find us up on iTunes. You can find us up on the Google Play Store, anything where podcasts are played or found, you can find us. I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope you get out and get some amazing photographs, and I will see you next time.